Hello, welcome to Talking Europe. It's up to us to make the Franco-German engine stronger than ever. Those were the words of French President Emmanuel Macron when he congratulated Friedrich Merz on becoming Chancellor of Germany. But Merz's own political engine had a slight problem. In an unprecedented upset, he failed to win the backing he needed from the German parliament in the first vote on his chancellorship on May the 6th. Then subsequently securing the majority he needed in the second vote later the same day. The following day, Friedrich Merz made Paris his first foreign visit, followed by Warsaw, and that raised hopes that the somewhat bumpy relationship that Macron had with Merz's predecessor, Olaf Scholz, might now give way to something a bit smoother. Well, with Europeans marking Victory in Europe Day on May the 8th, 80 years since Germany's surrender in World War II, this also seems like a fitting time to consider what a Franco-German reset could mean for Europe as a whole. To talk to me about this, I am here with German Conservative MP Andrea Wechsler, who is from the same party as Friedrich Merz, the CDU. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
And I'm also here with French Socialist and Democrat MEP Thomas Pellerin-Carlin. In France, he's a member of Place Publique, which is actually a rival party to President Macron's Renaissance. Welcome to you as well, Thomas. Andrea Wechsler, I wanted to get your thoughts on this day of drama in the German parliament. You know, a lot of commentators said that Friedrich Merz looked kind of fragile because he had to have two votes. And even on the second one, not all the members of his coalition voted for him. Do you think that's true? It's just a hiccup that will be forgotten.
Well, first of all, we've got a new government in Germany. And it's going to be strong. It will love France and it will strengthen the German-French relationship. And that's good news. Yes, there were difficult hours, certainly. But if you look back into history, Adenauer won by one vote. And even when Kohl started, it had a very rough start and he was still one of the core drivers of reunification and a strong German-French relationship. And so I'm very optimistic. There was a little bit of drama. It was only a couple of hours. But now we have a strong sign for a future in Europe.
Are you equally optimistic, Thomas?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're living in very difficult times in European history. We have bullies in the East, Vladimir Putin. We have another one in the West, Donald J. Trump. They are both creating a lot of uncertainty. More than ever, we need stability and we need unity. And that coalition between the two biggest democratic parties in Germany, the CDU-CSU and the SPD, is really the thing we actually need now at that moment in time.
Yeah, on this coalition agreement, though, I wanted to ask you because, of course, what Merz himself says is kind of very much music to President Macron's ear when he talks about we don't know how long NATO is going to exist in its current form. He even mentioned extending the French nuclear umbrella to Germany, potentially. But the coalition agreement sort of pulls him back from some of those positions that are really close to Macron. So do you think he might not be able to go as far as he personally would want to?
Well, first of all, I do think what you can see in this new government is a clear sign that defence and security is one of the core issues that we have to solve on a European level and with France. And that's a very important and a very good sign. Merz is an Atlanticist and is a very pro-European person. So we will, of course, stick to the stability in NATO on the one hand side, but we will build a more stronger European defence politics at the same time. And so that means that even though the coalition treaty might be a little bit more cautious, there is a clear commitment to building European strength together with the French and to build an additional European defence arm in addition to NATO.
What do you see concretely in the defence field? Do you think that we're going to see a major change now?
We are already seeing that major change. And luckily, it also builds on decades of efforts that were already made by the French and the German army working together. Let's remind ourselves that here in Strasbourg, we currently have a unit that is made of both French and German soldiers training together, being also deployed together. Then at the industry level, I was recently on a visit to a French industry company called KNDS, which is not French, it's Franco-German. And it is an example of how intertwined we are. The thing we need to understand when it comes to defense is what are we fighting for? What are we defending? We are defending the survival of European civilization and European democracy in the 21st century. We have foreign enemies, obviously, Trump and Putin, but we also have internal enemies, AfD in Germany, Rassemblement National, In both France and Germany, that want to overthrow democracy and overthrow the way of doing democratic politics. And that would be extremely helpful to make sure that we are united and that we provide stability to ensure that we can remain democracies in 2027, in 2029, and for the entire century.
Yeah, I mean, it's true that both leaders need to get results very tangibly and quite fast because they are facing this challenge from populists on the far right and far left, aren't they, in both countries?
It's very true. So it's we have built in Europe, and it's just been said, a very, very strong democracies. We have experienced and we're celebrating just in these times 80 years of peace and freedom in Europe. And that's a legacy we need to preserve. But we will only be able to preserve if we listen to the people back home, if we accept their problems and solve those problems in a way that people tangibly understand that established politicians are their friends and that we are, in fact,
I want to ask you a couple of possible areas of disagreement, though, because it's not going to be a sort of permanent political love fest, obviously, between Friedrich Merz and Emmanuel Macron. Firstly, on competitiveness, yes, they do say the same kind of similar things, but underneath that, we have differences on what to do about joint borrowing, for example. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that.
Sure, but those are, let's say, normal points of discussion that we even have inside some political families in member states and also here at the European Union. Really, I mean, it's not a glass half empty, half full. Do you look at the glass 95% full or 5% empty? Obviously, there are different points of views, for instance, on joint borrowing, but I'm really confident that we can work things out and that we can find a good compromise. Here again, the first question we need to ask ourselves is why? Why are we doing this? And the survival of European democracy, I think, is a good motivator. And then, I mean, Christian Democrats and Social Democrats are very good at many things, including finding pro-European compromise. That's how we've been able to build Europe for the last 75 years.
On trade, there's an obvious difference, which is that the new German Chancellor is more in favour of the Mercosur deal with Latin American countries. France, of course, has been opposing this for a long time. Do you see any room for compromise there?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think we're on the same page when it gets to an understanding that Europe needs to open up for global trade. We want open markets, open global markets. We can see with the changes that's happening in the United States that it's more important than ever that Europe opens up for markets like Latin America. And that's the core understanding. And then the details we need to discuss and we need to find, solutions for the differences. And yes, we do know that in agriculture, France has their stance. We have a very strong economy in Europe, in Germany. So we are more on the automotive and competitiveness side. But I'm very optimistic that we now have two leaders in Europe that will find and negotiate a proper solution for both countries.
On Mercosur, do you think there's it's going to be a problem, though? Because, I mean, there's been no real movement from the French government, has there?
It will clearly be part of that kind of 5% glass half empty dimension, to be certain. One dimension that is important in trade is to make sure that we apply to imported goods the same level of environmental and health protection that we apply to domestic European products. That is obviously essential. Let's remember that inside Mercosur, I mean, at the beginning, there were different political parties in power in the Mercosur area. Now we have that kind of that Argentinian Trump-like figure, Javier Milei, which obviously changes the situation, and that's something we need to take into account because we can no longer have a trusted relation with Javier Milei and with Argentina, or at least as long as Argentina has Javier Milei as head of state, because he really, really behaves like Donald Trump with that level of unpredictability and insanity that makes any kind of agreement, trade and otherwise, very difficult.
I'd like to talk a bit about the internal economic situation in both France and Germany, because clearly there is a debt problem in both countries. Many would say there's a debt crisis in France with a GDP, debt-to-GDP ratio, which is going up in 2026 as well. André Wechsler, do you think that debt problem is going to undermine the leadership of France and Germany in Europe?
No, I don't think so. We do have an obvious issue when it comes to debts and a common understanding of what Europe can do and the countries can do. But I'm very optimistic that this is something we need to tackle. You've seen also the votes in Germany that we've had at the beginning of the year. It's now time for strategic autonomy. Strategic autonomy requires investments, targeted investments. And I believe that when we join forces be it in defense, be it in competitiveness, when you do have joint sourcing, joint procurement also ongoing in the European Union, this is the synergies, the efficiency gains that we need. And I think collaboration also on these issues will be able to help sorting out these issues.
Is France the sick man of Europe economically now?
I mean, obviously, we have problems with the current political instability in France, and it's not helpful. But if we zoom out, the key reason why Europe is struggling economically is actually twofold. The first one is a lack of investment, and the second one is an over-reliance on imported fossil fuels. On lack of investment, we need to learn from one another. I hope the French government can be more like Germany when it comes to investment in research and innovation. Germany is showing the way, obviously, if things can be improved, but broadly speaking, Germany is doing better at investing in research and innovation. On energy, when it comes to the electricity grid, France has done a better work for now than Germany. So this is an area where we can work together to make sure that we learn from one another's strength and we make sure that we invest in research and innovation, but also in the stability of the electricity grid. When it comes to fossil fuels, obviously, there is always that big nuclear debate, but let's remember that the first energy consumed in both France and Germany is oil, and the second one is gas. And both of them are outrageously expensive, and they are coming from countries like Russia, like Iran, that want to destroy our democracy. We need to be able to produce cheap energy at home, and that primarily means making sure that we have renewable electricity, renewable heat, electricity grid, battery storage, heat storage. On all those areas, we should and we will work together to make sure that we provide cheap, renewable, affordable and secure energy for our industry, but also for European families.
Yeah, and obviously energy autonomy is one of those areas that the French and German governments will be looking at now that Friedrich Merz has become the Chancellor of Germany. We'll leave it there. I'd like to thank both of my guests, Andrea Wechsler and Thomas Pellerin-Carlin. Thanks for watching this show here on Talking Europe.